If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
The question is, what skills do you have that transcend industry borders? So whatever it is, I don't care what your role is, marketing or sales or finance, you have to sort of think about what have you done that could help another company in another industry.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 209 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. This week, I have a great discussion with Glenn Zweig. Glenn provides executive search and leadership advisory services to Egon Zehnder's digital tech-enabled services and healthcare practices. He's also the host of the podcast called The Art of Excellence, where he interviews high-achieving people across all walks of life to find common threads of success. I wanted Glenn on the show for two reasons. He has a deep understanding of the executive search process, and I wanted his perspective on what he is looking for when candidates are switching industries. The second reason is he has a great podcast, The Art of Excellence, and that is completely separate from what he does as an executive recruiter. Glenn suggests that you need to put yourself out there when pivoting industries, and I want you to hear a bit of Glenn's podcasting story. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the members who are participating in this project grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out. I want you to hear what Cleo got out of the community.
I got a lot of support. Just the knowledge that you're not alone. Other people are struggling with the exact same thing, and there are ways to deal with it. There are people, you know, some really interesting success stories that, you know, maybe that's not exactly what I can or want to do, but it's, and you can see the benefits that people get from different things like that. A couple people that took that positive intelligence course, I could see a real difference in how they acted, felt, and their success after they completed it. And I didn't end up taking the course, but I got the book. I put it as an audiobook on my phone, so I would listen to it while I was at the gym. And I mean, it helped me too, just controlling anxiety, getting back to reality, keeping your mind in a good place. And then there are people that I can reach out to, like if I had something going on and I just felt like I needed to talk to somebody, there were people I could talk that were happy to talk to me. So it's been a positive thing.
We use a variety of tools in the community, including the book Positive Intelligence. I am recruiting new members for the next cohort, and if you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, on to my discussion with Glenn Zweig. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have a really interesting guest this week in Glenn Zweig. He is an executive recruiter for Egon Zehnder, and he is the podcast host of the Art of Excellence podcast. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mark. Thrilled to be on it.
Glenn approached me several weeks ago about being on the podcast, and I said, can you address, but what is he looking for when people are trying to switch industries? Because we're going to have a lot of people do that. So, Glenn, what do you look for when someone says, I want to go from, I'm a marketing guy or gal, and I want to switch from one industry to another?
No, it's a great question. And it happens all the time. It's happened to myself over my own career, which if you want, we can talk about later. And there's no one size fits all, but I thought I could maybe provide an example or two. But at a high level, the question is, what skills do you have that transcend industry borders? So whatever it is, I don't care what your role is, marketing or sales or finance, you have to sort of think about what have you done that could help another company in another industry. And I've done a number of searches. I got to tell you where, look, there are certainly clients that only want people that speak their language, if you will. But there are plenty that say, you know, I'm doing a search right now for a tech-enabled media company. And they specifically don't want anyone from their industry because they are disrupting their industry. So by definition, if they bring in someone from the industry, they're going to have only the old way of doing things. And so they want people that can bring fresh insights to the table. And they're looking for people that bring functional expertise to what might be a foreign domain. And I'll share a quick story from the podcast, then I'll talk about a couple examples of people I've placed. But I recently interviewed one of the co-founders of Square, you know, Square, the payments company, the now ubiquitous payments company. And the two co-founders, Jim McKelvey and, of course, Jack Dorsey, they had zero, literally zero payments experience. And you think, well, okay, the founders maybe didn't, but they went out and they recruited an entire team of payments experts and fintech experts. Well, the answer is no, not a single one. In fact, they had one consultant who was a payments expert, had worked for many of the big name companies, and they fired him because they felt all they were hearing is, here's how things are done, right? These are maxims. This is how it's done. This is how you have to do it. And they said, yeah, but we're breaking those rules. We're doing things differently. So for their first several years, they didn't hire one single person with a payments background. And so that's one example, but there are a lot of those examples out there. So let me maybe, for the sake of going from a conceptual conversation to a specific one, let me talk about maybe one or two examples here. There was our clients are confidential, so I can't mention specific names, but I'll try to give plenty of details. So this was a search I did. This happened to be a search for a CFO, for a chief financial officer. It was for a major restaurant chain. And when we started the search, they said, look, this is a very nuanced industry. We need to have someone that speaks restaurant. They need to come out of the restaurant industry. That's really important to us. We said, well, okay. In general, you know, the absolute top-notch, best-of-breed CFOs aren't necessarily in the restaurant industry simply because it's not that complex of a space. They said, that doesn't matter. This is what we need. Well, we brought them a number of people from the industry. And each time there was something missing, there was something lacking, there wasn't fresh thinking, there wasn't innovation, they didn't feel they could. And by the way, this was a turnaround situation, I should mention. So this company was struggling. This was really important to help think about revitalizing the business. And finally, it took about 4 or 5 months till I finally said, listen, what you need is someone that's been through turnarounds. You need someone that knows how to operate in a tight margin business. By the way, this was controlled by a private equity firm, which means there was a lot of debt on the business, which makes it very difficult to operate. I said, you need someone that has operated in a highly leveraged environment, meaning with a lot of debt. You need someone that knows how to pivot business models because this company is struggling. They need to shift from in-house dining to delivery, from these kind of foods to a different set on the menu, from Gen X to millennials. There were all sorts of ways they had to pivot. You need someone that's done that before. And then finally, you need someone that knows how to rationalize a portfolio, meaning we've got all these restaurants out there. Should we shut down some of them? Should we open new ones up? What's working and how do we take best practices across the entire portfolio and kill bad ones? And I finally convinced them that if we could find someone with these skill sets, even if they don't come from the restaurant industry, they'll bring fresh thinking and they'll inject a lot of know-how that can help this company. And sure enough, it took enough months of getting a lot of false positives to finally have them open the aperture a bit. And I brought three or four people outside the restaurant, never, ever have worked one day in a restaurant, not even the cash register, you know, in high school. And they loved them, absolutely loved them. And they hired one of them and they were able to execute a really successful turnaround. So the point being is, of course, it took a client to be open to it. But at the same time, you know, what they ended up being drawn to were the skill sets. And the skill sets is beyond I'm a finance person in this case. The skill set was around all the things I just mentioned, right? All these different areas of what do you do within the finance function? How do you help drive transformation through the function that you come to the table with? And that's what was really important there. So what I would urge your listeners, and this is true whether you're displaced currently and looking to get back in the seat, or you're happily or maybe less than happily employed, but thinking about maybe making a switch and going into a different space, which is what are the skills that you bring to the table that can help a company get to where they're going? And that's the important thing, which is what is the situation that the company is wrestling with? And how can you help them get from point A to point B, which takes some amount of research, which is the other point, which is you've got to do your research. What's happening in the industry? What's happening with this particular company? Where do they stand vis-a-vis the marketplace, vis-a-vis the competitive set? And what have you done? What playbook can you come adapt, if you will, to help a certain company get to where they're going? But that takes a certain amount of research and diligence on your part. So that's the second part that's really important. And then a final point, and then I'll pause here, is companies use LinkedIn like never before. And I'd love to sit here and tell you that we've got all sorts of proprietary databases at Aegon Zehnder, which by the way, we do. And we have all sorts of internal networks, which of course we do. But we also jump on LinkedIn because we don't know everyone and it's a great discovery vehicle. So we're always learning. We're always finding new talent out there. And how do you position yourself on LinkedIn? What content have you written? What groups do you belong to? What have the people that have given you reviews, what have they said about you? What do you look like? What do you feel like when I read through your profile? What calls out to me? And I think the biggest mistake people make is when they try to be all things to all people, right? And I see it time and time again. I get unsolicited emails every day saying, Mr. Zweig, I'd love to have a confidential conversation. I'm thinking about switching employers. I can do marketing or business development or finance. I can do it with a big company. I can do it with a small company. I can do a high growth mandate. I can do a turnaround situation, you know, on and on and on. And you're sort of, when you're the jack of all trades, you're the master of none. And it doesn't help when you're trying to land something new. So let me pause there. And I hope some of that is maybe helpful and happy to, you know, go wherever you want to take this, Mark.
Yeah. When I first got into this, I used to deal with a lot of Dell refugees because Dell used to particularly, you know, 10 years ago would constantly be laying people, doing micro layoffs and they would come in and say, I can do sales. I can do marketing. I can do product management. I can do program management. I can do project management. I can do this. I can do that. And I said, what you just told me is you suck at everything because you can't be good at all of it. And I preach the same thing. So let me ask you this. How do you find those companies or those positions where people are open to looking at people from outside the industry?
Well, it's interesting. I think what's happening right now, as we're continuing to go through a massive transformation, and I think the pandemic has maybe accelerated it, but it's sort of like there is no industry, there is no company that is immune to the Amazon effect or the fill in the blank, the Google effect, the Facebook effect. We're all being transformed, and we all have to change the way, you know, business as usual doesn't work anymore. So the question is, if you're a company that's having to rethink your business and rethinking how to engage with your customers, rethinking the business model and how you make money, you know, so on and so forth, then you're almost forced to think outside the box. You're almost forced to say, well, if what we've done in the past, what's that expression, the definition of insanity? You've heard that one.
Yes. Right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
That's right. So I think you'll find that, you know, with a few exceptions, most companies are starting to understand that they need to bring in talent external to the organization. So that's almost becoming an accepted norm. The question is, are you going to be one of those people that they feel are critical to importing to help the company? So, and again, there are a few exceptions to the rule, but I do find for the most part that companies are very open to it. The only time when they need to hire from within are things around, for example, issues around data privacy, or if you're in healthcare with, you know, HIPAA rules and things like that. In the payment space, there's a lot of rules and regs to navigate. You're always going to need some domain expertise in some particular niche areas within your industry. But when you think about forming partnerships, when you think about marketing, when you think about sales and revenue generation, finance, I mean, I can't think of any function where there's not these days more and more talent being imported, you know, outside, not just outside the company, outside the industry. Like I said, it's less these days about a company's willingness to do so and more about how do you position yourself so you're the one they feel are going to be critical, you know, to that equation, to that talent equation, if you will.
Well, let me ask you this. One of the things I've seen is in industries that are highly regulated, like pharmaceuticals, that they are less likely to grab people from outside the industry. Is that a valid assumption?
Well, again, it completely depends what the role is.
Yeah.
So if you're hiring a chief medical officer, right? It probably helps to have someone that speaks a certain language, right? And is swum in certain kinds of ponds. But let me give you a specific example with pharma, if you want to use that. So I did I placed the chief digital officer for a major Fortune 500 company that is both in the retail space and in the pharmaceutical space, right? Because of the prescription side of the business. And once again, similar to the restaurant scenario I gave you, they started out exactly like that, which is we need someone that understands healthcare delivery. We need someone that understands retail. And once again, it was a similar kind of exercise, which is we found them a lot of these people, but what they found were the ideas felt like, you know, same old. Nothing was new. There were already ideas that had been hashed out internally. There were things that had already been tried or already implemented. And so I finally said, listen, what you need isn't retail know-how or pharmaceutical know-how. They said, well, what do we need? I said, what you need is someone that understands disruption. What you need is someone that knows how to introduce new business models and not just introduce, but then to scale from ideas to products and from products to businesses that can transform how business is done. What you need is someone that understands how to leverage digital technology to change how you engage with your customers. What you need is someone that knows how to build and lead high-powered teams that can really work collaboratively across a very complex matrix organization. That's really important. How do you get stakeholders aligned, right, across a very big global enterprise? How do you operationalize new ideas? How do you get buy-in? And they said, yes, you know, to all of these things. So I had someone that had come out of Amazon in this case, and it also spent time not in retail and not in pharma, it spent time in another, what I call old economy company, right? A company which was being disruptive, which was going through transformation. So he showed that he knew how to take a lot of what he learned in Silicon Valley and apply it to a non-digital first company. And when they saw that, they said, that's the kind of person that we need. And that's exactly the kind of person that we pulled out from that organization and brought into this one. So it depends on what the role is, but there's no space. And I do a fair amount of healthcare recruiting, actually. I do a fair amount of fintech recruiting and a lot of spaces that are financial services, you know, that are highly regulated. And again, there are always going to be some rules, some roles, I should say, Mark. But if there are roles that are around transforming the company, helping them drive efficiencies, helping them shift their business model, helping them change how they engage with customers, helping them grow, helping them innovate, that these aren't people, these aren't skill sets that are confined to industry lines. So plenty of those examples.
What I'm hearing from you is just about everybody's being disrupted. Mm-hmm. And the question comes down to is, how are these companies being disrupted? And then how can you help them with that disruption? And getting as specific as you can in how you have dealt with that transformation disruption in your past experience, and kind of get away from, well, I know this industry, versus I know how to deal with change, disruption, and the like. Does that resonate?
Yeah, it absolutely resonates. And then I go back to what I said earlier, which is, so whatever that topic is, whatever it is you bring to the table, have you written about that? Have you posted on LinkedIn, on Medium? Have you found a way to get an article into, you know, Forbes or Inc. or HBR or some noteworthy publication? Have you been an opinion leader, a thought leader in any of these groups around whatever the topic is? And so it's not enough that you know it. You need to find a way to let others know that you know it. And you've got to be a thought leader. You've got to brand yourself. And that takes some time and it takes some discipline. But again, that's how a lot of people are discovered these days. And so you can't sit there and you know, hide out, you know, in your office or in your house and just sit there and vent because no one knows what you could bring to the table. Let them know, go out there and put yourself out there a little bit. And that's how these things happen. But it does take time. It takes discipline. It takes research. It takes effort.
Yeah, it's interesting. I work with a number of folks in my online community say you need to go publish. And that's either on LinkedIn, Medium is a good example. Don't tell me that you know your stuff. Show me you know your stuff. And the challenge that a lot of mid to late career professionals is they've never had to do that before. And to some extent, I'm 64. I'm on the other end of the scale. of, you mean I gotta go promote myself so people outside of my realm know who I am? That's kind of scary.
It's scary. It is scary. And you have to be vulnerable, right? Not everyone is going to agree with what you write. Not everyone's going to think it's a noteworthy article. Not everyone's going to think it is of substance. And you have to be willing to say, that's okay. Because if I think it's worthy, if I find value in it, then certainly, you know, others will too. What makes social media so enabling today that we didn't have this luxury, you know, 10, 15 years back, is once upon a time, your only options were to fight with everyone else to get that piece into one of these, you know, into the Fortune, the Forbes, the Harvard Business Review, and what have you. But these days, you don't need some third party to publish you, to endorse you, to decide that you're worthy. Just publish something on LinkedIn. Put something on Medium. It's free. It takes no time. It doesn't have to be long. But put something out there. Start a conversation. You know, that's the other thing, which is just start a conversation. Find a way to engage in groups. Find a way to get people to respond to what you're saying. And that's how you start to build, you know, thought leadership. I remember I do more podcasting now, but I used to do some blogging before I got into podcasting. And I had an interesting idea for an article, which I ended up posting on my website and on LinkedIn. But I went to a major publication, an academic-oriented publication, I won't mention the name, and said, look, I got this idea for an article, and here's my background. And they said, well, here's all the, you know, stipulations for you to get into our magazine. You have to have so many, you know, third-party sources, and then you've got to have so many references, and you've got to have some sort of scientific validation to what you're doing, and, you know, on and on and on and on and on. And I sat there and I'm like, it's not worth it. Like, it will take me months to get to the point where I have something worthy of their publication, and it'll take me a weekend to put out there to the world what I wanted to say, and it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be scientifically valid, and it's not going to have all the references and all the validation that this one publication might need. But I found it really helpful for myself, and I got a lot of really nice feedback from it. And so my response to that is, don't worry about it. Because no matter what you do, I guarantee you, your 10th, your 20th article will be much more profound, much more fluid than what you start with. But it takes time to build that muscle. So just start with something. Just get something out there. Sometimes it's just all about momentum. And you got to do even small things just to start to create momentum.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have helped any number of people start blogs and podcasts. We've got several people in my online community and the Career Pivot community doing that. And I always tell them the first stuff you'll will produce will suck. And by the way, that's okay because you can delete it. But you build that muscle, you develop that voice, and you get better. And by the way, if you go back and listen to the first couple of episodes of this podcast, I'm not very good. I've learned how to be a much better interviewer because I didn't have that skill when I got started.
Yeah. In fact, I just had someone comment literally last week. And the comment was, this is Glenn's best podcast yet, but go back and listen to all of them. And you'll see the difference, and you'll see Glenn's growth. You'll see how was he as an interviewer when he started, and how has he matured in that craft over time. And make no mistake, I'm far from perfect. I still have a lot of learning and improvement to go, but I've come a long way. And I don't look back and say, oh, I'm gonna delete all those early podcasts, right? That's probably a little bit of the perfectionist inside me that might want to do that because maybe I'm embarrassed over the way I sounded, you know, back then. But that's me. And I wasn't as good back then as it was now. My writing wasn't as good when I started blogging to how it evolved over time. So that's all right, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. For my listeners, I want you to go back and listen to episode 175 with Daniel Elizalde. He has an IoT podcast that he has used to brand himself. Before that, he did it with a blog. And it's what he did was brilliant. And it's a matter of getting the right people on the podcast. And one of the things about podcasts is they're very personal. They hear your voice. They get to know you, or at least they think they get to know you. And it's interesting. It's a far more impactful process and a way of demonstrating. And Daniel talks about on his pod on when I interviewed him, the fact that he just doesn't interview. He has a discussion. He tries to add something.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think a lot of the questions you have, there's so much of our own personal context that we're bringing to bear into a conversation that we have, right? I've had multiple past lives. I've been in tech and I've been in real estate. I've been in investments. I'm now an executive search consultant. And I've seen so many movies, right? That when you watch a new movie, there's so much you bring into that. Oh, it reminds me of this plot sequence. Oh, I love the music. It reminds me of this one in terms of setting a tone and setting the mood. Oh, I love the character development. It makes me think of this one or that one. And that's the same thing I find when I interview people, which is it's not even at a conscious level. It's just there's so much that I've done to experience life that sort of comes into that discussion. And the other way I've evolved over time, I would say, is I think early on, Mark, I was really... And again, it's a little bit of that perfectionist inside of me, which is not something I'm super proud of. But what are the people listening? What do they want to hear about? What do they care about? I better make sure I ask what they want to know, as if I could somehow have the magic crystal ball to know exactly what each person listening is going to care about. And I was so concerned about what I thought other people would want to know or want to hear that I forgot to listen to my own voice. And so I sort of said, let me just figure out what I'm curious about. What am I curious about? What do I care about? What do I want to know? And not everyone out there is going to care about what I care about. And that's okay. I'm not going to be all things to all people. But those that appreciate my curiosity and appreciate whatever insights I bring to bear and the way I lead my discussion, my conversations with guests, those are the people that I want to have. And so I started focusing more on going inside, going inward, if you will, and thinking about why am I interested in this person? Why do I care about this person? What is it I want to know? Because if nothing else, I like to live vicariously, through each guest. And I like to think about, wow, what is it like to be that person and have experienced this life? And I find the more I just go with my gut and what feels right to me, and less so about trying to, guess what everyone else is going to care about, I feel like the better sounding interview that I have.
So Glenn, this has been a great discussion. If you had one piece of advice for someone who is going to switch industries, what might that be?
Can I give two pieces of advice?
Sure.
Recruiters like me, I mean, best case scenario, Mark, we're maybe filling 5% of the roles out there, of executive roles out there at best, probably less than that. So we're talking small single digits. Just assume that somewhere between 90 and 95% of jobs are not filled through recruiters and are not filled through job boards. it's word of mouth, it's networking, it's people that you know. So I know we use the term network, network, network all the time, but that is actually how most jobs are filled. So find a way. Here's the advice. If you go back to what we talked about earlier, which is find your lane, what are you an expert at? What do you feel passionate talking about? What do you bring to the table? What do you have to put out in the world? Find a way to take that and then have conversations with people at companies you'd like to get to know, with no agenda, with no, I'm looking for a job, just with, I'd love to talk to you to share some of what I learned. And I'd love to hear what you're doing in whatever the area is, because I'm just curious. And this is where I'm spending my time. And this is my passion. And you'll be surprised at how many people would love to engage with you. What people don't, on average, have the time for or interest in is, hey, I'm looking for a job. I'd love to, you know, have coffee or during a pandemic, virtual coffee, whatever. They get lots of these. And it's a very one-sided kind of approach, if you will. So I guess the two-sided advice is, one, take the time to think about what's your unique angle, what's your unique point of view, what is it that you're a quote-unquote expert at, and then find ways to network to get into the people at companies that you think you'd like to work at as a next step in your career. That would be the advice.
Well, Glenn, that was great advice. If someone wanted to reach out and touch you virtually, because we are in social distancing, or in here in Mexico, we call distancia socialis. How might they do that?
Gosh, a lot of ways these days. The podcast, you can go to theartofexcellence.com, find it there. You can, my email is glenn@theartofexcellence.com. That is one way. You can find me at Aegon Zender, and you can just search. I'm in the Atlanta office, and that is Aegon Zender is Aegon Zehnder. So there's a corporate website. You can find me on there. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and a number of social media outlets. And you can certainly find me there as well. And would love to hear from people.
And I'll put links to all that in the show notes. Glenn, thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Mark, thank you, because this is an absolute joy. I love talking about this. And I know a lot of people are struggling with it. It's been a really, really tough last year with the pandemic. And I do feel a ray of hope. I see a light. There's still a little more crawling through a tunnel, but we're getting closer to the light. And I'd like to think that come summertime, come fall, that we've crawled out of the tunnel. The light is there once again. The sun will shine, and just have hope. Don't give up. Find a way to stay as hopeful, as positive, as optimistic as you can, but put in the work and you'll get there.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Pleasure.
I agree with Glenn. You need to demonstrate your transferable skills. You can do this by publishing on public forums like LinkedIn and Medium, producing a podcast, or just being active on social media. Check out Glenn's podcast, The Art of Excellence. He has an amazing guest list that came through simple perseverance. And if Glenn can do it, you can too. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter @CareerPivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-209. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get the updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, and Amazon Music.
I hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career Podcast.
Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with MilliQ Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.